Please open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul here describes the following situation after having said that he's pressed on every side in verse 8, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not unto despair, pursued, but not forsaken, smitten down, yet not destroyed. This is what he says in verse 16. Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Two different things were going on in Paul's life, in other words. His physical condition, his age, he understood, like all of us do, Paul's not getting younger and younger and healthier and healthier. He says, our outward man is decaying, but he said the inward man is being renewed day by day. So there's a progressiveness there that I want us to focus on and talk about this morning. All of us would like to have a really good day, and then a good night's sleep, and then a good tomorrow, and then a better Tuesday, and then a better... And we say things like this to each other all the time. We say, have a good day. You know, people we don't know tell us, have a good day, because that's what we want. That's what we want for other people. And so if we all had our way, we would just like things to go like that. Real life doesn't always go right like that. We're going to be talking and reminding ourselves some of the events in the lives of people like Job, people like Joseph, people like Paul, that it's not a constant uptick. But there's something that Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 about being able to handle both ups and downs. The Philippians, at the time of this writing, have just sent a gift to Paul to help support him while he's a prisoner, apparently in Rome. Paul's got a number of problems facing him. He's not free. He is a prisoner. He may be potentially executed. Some people who should be working for the cause of the gospel and supporting him are working against him. But having received this, this is what he says in chapter 4, verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length of time you revived your thought for me, where indeed you did take thought, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am in, therein to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know also how to abound. You recall in 2 Corinthians, he talked about at times he had been in hunger, in thirst, without adequate clothing, in perils of robbers, in perils from his own countrymen, in shipwrecks, in beatings, imprisonments. And those are not, you know, if you get stoned, you know, that's not a good day. If you get scourged, that's not a good day. But even when he got whipped, and in Philippi, and he and Silas get put in jail, what are they doing in jail? They're singing, praising God. We are in a time right now as a congregation when a lot of things are moving in a really good direction. We are also in a time when, for a lot of us, different things in our lives, health concerns, diseases, are moving in a frightening or difficult direction. And that's partly what Paul is facing and what we're all going to face as we get through life. And I want to suggest we think about three different ways of looking at life. One is something can go well, and then, oh no, something goes badly. So then something goes better, and then something goes badly. Something goes better, something goes badly. And we can call that life has what? Life has its ups and its downs. If we're not careful, you remember what he said back in 2 Corinthians 4? He said, wherefore we faint not, but though our outer man is decaying, our inward man is renewed day by day. If we faint, what can happen? Things can be going well, and then things are not going as well. And then things get better, but then, things don't go as well. And something gets better, but things don't go as well. And over time, we can let what happen? We can let it take the strength out of ourselves. You can have a series of events happen suddenly and quickly that just leave you kind of feeling pummeled. Job. Okay? Where's Job at? Things have been going really, really well. Things have been going really well for a long time. He's wealthy. He's righteous. He's approved of God. He loves his family. And what happens? A messenger comes and he's lost this. A messenger comes and he's lost that. A messenger comes, he's lost this. Then he loses his health. And then his wife is saying, just curse God and die. Things got bad really quick. And it didn't get bright really quick. You know, he sat there for days with his friends, and then they started talking, and they shouldn't have. It was miserable comforters, are you all? There's an upswing at the end of the book, but you can just see just the wind that is taken out of Job. Have you ever had times like that in your life? Not to that degree, that's right. That's one of the reasons it's there for us, I think, because when we do face difficulties, we can always look and see what. I've never had it like that. But it's a pattern for us to recognize if we are facing troubles. On the other hand, sometimes things are going better. Like this last week, I've really enjoyed some things about this last week. I really, really enjoyed Matt's sermon Sunday night. I just thought it was just really good. I'd been tickled to see Kyle, and then the decision Kyle made. I'm so excited about that. And just a number of things going on within the congregation. We've got a group of young people that I just love and appreciate and respect. And the good things that I see out of them, it just encourages me and builds me up, and I'm just impressed by and thankful for. And in a congregation, there will be times where things are on an upswing or things are on a downswing. And other than the health issues and serious health issues that various people are dealing with and facing, in a lot of other ways, spiritually, a lot of things are on an upswing. I'm enjoying that. I hope you're enjoying that. Momentum is a powerful thing when it's going up or when it's going down. When things are going well, what does that do for us? It motivates us. If a brother comes back to the Lord, what's that do for your heart? It motivates you. You're excited about it. You're re-energized. You're maybe more motivated to help somebody else, talk to somebody else. Whereas if a brother betrays the Lord, what does that do to you? That hurts. You remember Paul when he says, Demas forsook me, having loved this present world. That hurts. So we have an effect on each other. But what do you do, and what are some dangers about when things are going well? I like it when things are going well. I like that a lot. Are there any dangers about when things are going well? Yes, there are. We can become complacent. We can become satisfied. We can become like Laodicea, which said what? I'm rich and full, and I have need of nothing, and just plateau, and the Lord says what? I wish you were hot or cold, but you are lukewarm. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Most of us have been in situations where there's been a downward momentum. And that's hard to turn around, but it can be turned around. We're going to look for a minute at a couple of examples from the lives of some Bible characters, and then we're going to make some application points, and then the sermon will be yours. But going back, we've already mentioned Job. Let's mention Joseph. Things starting off with Joseph, he's got a coat of many colors. His brothers don't. You know, he is the favorite. There's a whole bunch of boys, and out of all those boys, instead of being lost, he is his father's favorite. So in a way, life is starting pretty sweet for him, although there's problems with playing favorites in families, as we'll see kind of in the lives of the patriarchs. But then what happens to him? His brothers want to kill him, and they sell him into slavery. Then what happens to him? Life gets better, because Potiphar sees his ability, his integrity. Then what happens? Pharaoh's wife sees his desirability and tries to entice him. He refuses. He gets falsely accused. He gets thrown in prison. Then what happens? Because of his integrity, you know, he prevails there. Then he gets forgotten when he should be remembered by one of Pharaoh's servants. But eventually, where does he end up? Up here, at the right hand of the ruler. So there's ups and downs in there, but you see a pattern going upward. David. After he's been victorious over Goliath, you've got the women of Israel singing songs about it. You know, you've made a mark when all the ladies are singing songs about you there, David, and he's going to be the next king. Is he going to have some tough spots in between there? When he's hiding in a cave because Saul's trying to kill him. And then after he's king and he lets his own sin create problems in his life, and he repents of that, but then later, his son Absalom, he's having to run again, but this time, not from Saul, a jealous previous king, this time he's having to run from what? His own son. Paul, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to the comfort and obvious previous anguish in this passage. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Paul has been deeply stressed about some things, and he's just been comforted. Among other things, we know from later in this text, Titus has gotten there and met him in Macedonia and given him the good news that the Corinthians have repented. And watch what that does to his spirits, but also watch and see where his spirits were before. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction, through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound unto us, even so our comfort also abounds through Christ. But whether we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, or whether we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which worketh in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Our hope for you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you are of the comfort. For we would not have you ignorant, brethren, listen to it, concerning our affliction which befell us in Asia. that we were weighed down exceedingly beyond our power, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Yea, we ourselves have had the sentence of death within ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us out of so great a death, and will deliver us, and will deliver on whom we have set our hope, that he will also still deliver us. So he said, he was in despair. And he thought he was going to be dead. And he's been in great affliction. He'll mention later that even when he came to Troas, fightings without fears within, he meets Titus, gets the news of repentance of Corinth, and he is so, so grateful, so encouraged, and so built up. We are in a time, in many ways right now, where there are a lot of things that are able to be building us up. We don't want to become complacent. We don't want to plateau. But what are some things we can do while we are in good times spiritually and in association with brethren? One is to keep sending down roots. Do you remember in the parable of the sower, the seed that was thrown on rocky ground, why did it not do well? It hit some dirt, some roots went down, and a plant came up. Why didn't that plant make it? Because the ground was rocky, it didn't have what? It didn't have deep roots. And so when it didn't have deep roots, what happened to that plant? When the sun hit it hot, it killed it. And Jesus described it as being what? In times of tribulation. In other words, when it gets hard, some people fade away. Why? They didn't have enough root. Compare that to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. His delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He is what? Look at it in verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. It yields its fruit in due season, and its leaf does not wither. Why? Where is it planted? It's planted by the water. You ever notice that if you've ever been driving along? I mean, some areas are just lush. Some areas the soil is real fertile and stuff just green and growing and overgrowing everywhere. Have you ever been in some of those areas where it's not as much growth, but you'll see a line of trees snaking along, and what do you know is there? There's a stream there. That's what that is. I want you to picture a desert, okay? Just sand dunes, just desert. Every day the sun comes out and is baking that desert. Just scalding heat. At night, sometimes in the desert it gets pretty cold. Now you take a seed, you flick it out there in that desert. It's going to be no rain around here for maybe a couple of weeks. Is anything going to happen there? No. Have you ever seen a picture of an oasis? What's all around it? Desert. Just sand, desert, nothing. And then right here, what do you have? Here's a pool of water, and here's trees, 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 vibrant growth. Why? Where is it planted? It's planted by the water. Now, if you're in an environment where you can expect, you know, every other day a nice rain shower, Oh, nice shower. Awesome sunshine. Nice shower. Nice sunshine. Just like that. Then you might not have to be planted by the waters because you're, you know, in a just kind of like the bishop's berries. You know, they've got irrigation out there. And this every day they get some water. If it rains, they get water. If it doesn't rain, they get water. But if you're out in the wild, you're going to have some times where there's not water for a while. And so what do you need? Roots. Roots that go down. Because that tree, like planted by that oasis, or along, if you look at the Jordan River, right above the Dead Sea a little bit, there's an area before you get to Galilee where it's all wooded. But if you look at a satellite image of Jordan, a little bit north of the Red Sea, it's kind of a desolate area, not a lot growing, but right along the Jordan River, guess what you got? It's just a band of green. Because those trees are what? They're by the water. So even if the rain is not coming down from here, you've got what? It helps you withstand that. To be like a tree planted by the waters. When things are going well, enjoy it. Bring that in. Do you see Paul enjoying it when he gets good news from Titus? He's thrilled when he gets good news from Titus. He wants to see the Romans. What does he say in Romans chapter 1? He said, I want to give you a spiritual gift and receive a gift from you. And he wants to be encouraged with each other. What's one of the reasons we come together? We remember the Lord's death, we praise God, we serve God, but what's another benefit that comes from our being together? It encourages each other and builds us up. But we might not always be in that same situation. Some of our young people, you may move to a place and there may be just a very, very small group of saints who are facing a lot of difficulties and not a lot of advantages. This congregation over the years has seen times when things are really going good and seen times when there were tough problems that challenge us. And at that time, what has to be determined? Whether or not we've got good roots or not. Because back to the parable of the sower, any plant can pop up quickly in some moist ground without a lot of root, but what's going to make the difference in the long run? Whether or not it's got those roots. So when things are going well, use it, enjoy it, be strengthened by it, but also be putting down roots. Here's another thing we can do. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Verse 14, it will be like a man going on a journey who has called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he that had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. He who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I've made 5 talents more. His master said, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here I've made 2 talents more. His master said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And now before we read the 1 talent man, let's remind ourselves of what the talent was. A talent was a weight, a certain amount of silver or gold. our English word talent comes from this parable. The Greek word for that weight is talentos. But because of how it's used in this parable and the famousness of this parable and its effect upon the English language, today if you talk about a talent show, the reason you're using that word is because of this parable. It's a Greek word brought into the English language to mean our skills or abilities. Well, in the parable, in the figure, it was a weight of valuable metal. But it can represent our skills or abilities in all sorts of ways. It can also refer to our opportunities. And being with brethren, where brethren are united, working, moving forward, serving God together, and being strengthened by each other, is that not an opportunity? So then the question is, what do we do with it? When we're blessed, it helps give us the opportunity to bless other people. Some of the exciting things have been going on lately. We're now supporting Denny Freeman, who's doing good work down in Florida among the prison population in there, and follow-up work with those fellows after they get out of prison. Number of conversions already this year. And that's, we get to be part of that. He's doing the work. He's working with those prisoners, but we, among others, are helping him to be able to have the time to do that. You remember when Paul said, having fellowship with me in the gospel. Had the announcement recently that the elders have invited down Dan Bunting. We'll be talking, and he'll be speaking to us and speaking with the elders about that. And, you know, the opportunity that the congregation now has to be doing things like that, that's a beautiful thing. Here's one talent man, though, and what does he do? He says, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. His master answered, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, gathered where I scattered no seed. You ought to have invested my money with the bankers. At my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent away from him and give it to him that has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in the place that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's not cast out because he only had one talent. He's cast out because he had one talent and didn't make good use of it. The 5-talent man, was a 5? Why did he entrust 5 to the 5-talent man? Because he got 5 more. The 2-talent man got 2 more, and what was said to both of them? Well done, good and faithful servant. If the 1-talent man had showed back up with what? 1 more talent, what would he have heard? Well done, good and faithful servant. He's not being required to have come up with 5 like the fellow that started with 5, right? The fellow with 2 is praised likewise. But the fellow with 1, even though he was not blessed with as much in the beginning, he didn't use it. He didn't take advantage of it. And so when we're blessed, for those of us that are blessed with health, there's things we can use that health for. If you're blessed with money, there's things you can use that blessing for. Whether it's time or opportunities or being on an upswing if things are going well in your life and if things are going well for you spiritually. Take that and let it be a blessing for other people. And I see things like that going on. It's one of the things that's exciting to see, and somebody else mentioned this recently, and it's how many good things are going on that the rest of us don't know about. there's studies going on that when you see it and hear about it, it's exciting. There's opportunities that we all don't know about, but it's going on. There's people visiting people and helping people, and it's going on. And that's, it's exciting to see, but it's also nice that it's not being paraded and it's just going on. Because disciples shouldn't be doing something simply to be what? Oh, look, I helped somebody. Jesus said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. But when people are doing that, guess what? Sooner or later, other people start noticing, oh, that's good, that's good. Look at this being done. Look at that being done. Look at these this work being done in the gospel here, and these people helping there, and these people sacrificing. That's what's going on. And that's helping us to grow. As we go through that, let's make our pattern be like this. When we're going up, build on that momentum and keep it going. Some things may slow us down sometimes, but then get it going again. Some things may slow us down. There will be trials. There will be our outward men and women will be decaying. But let our inner selves be being strengthened so that we will not be surprised when we face a disappointment or a challenge or a hardship, because we've got roots. But with those roots, then we'll be able to keep putting out fruit, and then guess what's going to come? Not just the early rain, but the latter rain, and moving forward and going like that. This type of thing is not productive, because what's not happening? Growth is not happening. Progress is not happening. It's a little bit like the one talent man. I started off right here, and Lord, guess what? You didn't lose anything. That's if you've got a business. You don't want to. How do we do today? You didn't lose any money today. Well, good, but that's not really the point of being in business. If we don't have roots, then we can get into this. And while everything's going good, oh yeah, I want to serve the Lord. And then somebody disappointed me. I don't want to serve the Lord anymore. Has that ever made sense? But how many times have you seen it? When the Lord died on the cross, did he promise that everybody else is always going to please us and support us and be what we wish they would be? No. He was down on the cross for our sins, knowing that all we like sheep have gone astray. Lord laid on him the iniquity of all, and we need to be back to him. There will be up times, there will be down times. When it's going up, build on that momentum, enjoy it, use it as I see people using it to help other people. And thank you for all the good things that are going on and all the good examples that are being set. And let's be praying for and seeing what we can do for those who are suffering and going through troubles. If you're not, you will be after a while, and you'll appreciate it when somebody's there for you. Thank you for all that you do. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?